Okay, I'd like to reconvene the Appropriations Committee. We are, had paused for a brief telephone call, and now we were reconvened, and we are still considering the appointment, the nominee, Treasurer Littleton, right now. There were some questions about a sticky note that was on his application. He's clarified what that note meant. And right now, we're reviewing the Treasury law. What's the section that we need to?
15ONC 2304.
Section 2304, you need to be in.
I know, 15. This is section 15. 15ONC 2304.
Title 15, chapter, title 15. You were in the right place a minute ago.
Well, I handed it off to the expert. She's qualified by education and experience.
You need to be in two. There you go. I think the question is at the table right now is qualification for the treasurer.
Probably ought to change this. This questionnaire shouldn't probably go out anyway because it asks, "Are you willing to serve without any payment as the treasurer?"
Says the treasurer shall have obtained a bachelor's degree and be a certified public accountant. The treasurer is also required to have a minimum of 2 years. Experience administering a governmental fund accounting system. So I believe that was in reference to the sticky note. Quite possibly Treasurer Littleton was looking at a copy of code and not an amended version of the law. Congresswoman Edwards.
Move to report that the appointee, is that what?
Candidate
is qualified by education, experience, and there are no legal or ethical barriers known to service.
Second.
Motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying yes.
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 Okay, we will report that out of this committee on Monday. Thank you. Now we're moving on to agenda item number 7, which is ONCA 1857, an act to establish in Osage law a budgetary process that is governed by the principles of transparency and accountability, defining terms and establishing limitations, and to establish an alternate effective date. Congressman Potts is the sponsor. We ended our committee meeting last time reviewing this bill. We are looking at it section by section. Clerk, could you please get this ONCA 1857 or someone that's driving the screen, get that up for us so we can continue on with its review. Congressman Potts, do you remember what section we finished in?
I believe we were discussing the Revenue Advisory Commission.
Okay. We're getting it up right now. We went through the... We did make some amendments, correct, to this bill?
Correct. To my knowledge, two amendments were made, striking part of a definition in 5 on revolving funds, and striking two definitions in whole, tribal projected revenue and unassigned funds.
Okay, thank you. All right, let's move on to... So we were on the Revenue Advisory Commission. I did not take a note on where we left off on this discussion. I do know that we did have some discussion that currently, right now at this moment, we do not have any projected revenue information from the Treasury Department. This is the HUNCA session, is the session that we are supposed to pass the projected revenue resolution. This this session. I've read this bill. I see this as a good solution to having those totals well in advance with an agreement of concerned parties of the nation. So, Congresswoman Edwards.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the complaint from the Office of the Chiefs is that the treasurer is named as one of the members of the commission.
I believe that's correct.
So why don't you just take the treasurer out of that commission and make it a purely legislative commission? Of course, the treasurer is going to have to come to the commission meetings because, or at least respond, because we have a law that says the treasurer is required to respond within 2 days to any inquiry. So you're going to be able to get every report you ever need. He or she is just not going to sit on the commission. And presumably you're going to ask them and they're going to come to every meeting.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, we can do that. The point of putting an executive branch official or the nation's official on the Revenue Advisory Commission is to provide executive input so that this is not a purely legislative branch certification of revenue estimates. Because as has always been stated at this table, we spend the first 2 weeks of our budgetary session fighting over what is projected revenue and who has the right numbers. So the Revenue Advisory Commission is an attempt to certify the amounts prior to the HUNCA session where the Congress will then fulfill its constitutional duty to establish projected revenue. The Revenue Advisory Commission is only there to provide input.
I understand, but the committee has, I mean, we've been able to do revenue projection in the past without having an executive branch official on a committee. And I just, to me, if the complaint here is that you've been inclusive, but we don't want to play, then.
Congressman Potts, is there any more input from the committee on this section that we're discussing right now? Well, I'll make some comment then. It was stated in the chief's address to the nation that this should be a cooperative effort, and I see this as a cooperative effort. I've reviewed it. I don't believe that it's unconstitutional for the treasurer to sit on a commission that determines our revenue projections. So I really would like to have some discussion on this, whether it needs to come out. I agree that cooperation between the branches for this total is a definite need. Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to echo that, the direct quote from the State of the Nation is, every year we seem to spend half the budget session trying to determine the amount available for budgeting. The only way to head that off is to agree on what we have available to budget before the session. And if it's just the Congress in the room, we're still not going to agree.
But under the current law, that's how we're doing it. And if I'm not mistaken, and the assistant principal chief can speak, but I thought the discussion at the last meeting was that the chief believed that including the treasurer of the nation on the Revenue Advisory Commission was going to result in a veto. So can I ask that question again?
Yes. Assistant chief, there's a question for you.
Our position hasn't changed.
So if the treasurer is included in the Revenue Advisory Commission, that will be cause for a veto by the chief?
Correct.
Then why do all this work when it's going to get vetoed?
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Does the executive have another method by which they would prefer to provide executive input on an agreed-upon number prior to a session?
Yes, and we articulated that at great length in our last meeting. We think that if we all sat down at a table and worked on the law, that would nail down all of the inputs by name and where they go on a spreadsheet, and that we all agree is the formula, then we've had our input. That bill exists in Congress, and then Congress does it according to that law. So that is the alternative proposed, and that is the preferred alternative proposed by the executive branch.
Assistant Chief Redcorn, I'm trying to get clear. We are sitting at a table and asking for input right now, and I'm trying to get clear why we aren't receiving that input at this table when we're working on budgetary legislation.
Because, as the chief said, first, and I know this frustrates you, and I get it, so let's just get that part out of the way. Definitions, projected revenue, budget control, however that goes. That is the order of battle.
So the chief's dictating our legislative priorities.
He's expressing a preference, and I think he's perfectly entitled to exercise a veto if that, I mean, that's just...
So if we don't follow the order of this legislation according to the three phases, that then we experience a veto. That doesn't sound very cooperative when we're trying to sit here and get some input on what would make this work on the projected revenue total. So I'm submitting to you, we're asking for cooperation to work on this legislation that's sitting here before us right now.
And we appreciate that. We really do, that sentiment. Unfortunately, as we expressed in our last meeting, the existence of the treasurer on this bill is a non-starter for us. There's no value in from our perspective of continuing to work on a bill that has a constitutionally fatal flaw in it. So please forgive us for that. I would add that we also think this is the most logical way to go about it. Congress may have a different idea. The votes and the veto and then override or any of that is how that all plays out. And it may be that we have to go through that process in order to have a reset and go again or do whatever happens after that.
Congresswoman Edwards.
I have an amendment to propose page 2, line 89, strike 4 and insert 3. Page 2, line 94, strike treasurer of the Osage Nation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Do you have that written down?
Yes. Discussion?
I was a little bit distracted. Yes, let's have some discussion on it.
So the assistant principal chief just confirmed that if the treasurer remains as a member of the Osage Nation Revenue Advisory Commission, then that's going to subject this piece of legislation to a veto. I think it's continually important that we have an advisory commission on revenue, because right now we are having interim meetings of the appropriation committee sometime, and we're having meetings in appropriation. It would be preferable to me to have some body that's consistently meeting, and this calls for quarterly meetings, to review our revenue and review our projections. This, by not including the treasurer, this doesn't mean that the treasurer can't be asked to be there, can't be asked for input. You also, I think, need the tax commission person. I mean, there's different entities that we've had in the past come together to get this. This just assigns a body that responsibility. So I'm feeling like if the Office of the Chief says we don't want the treasurer participating as a member of that body, okay, we'll still have the body and we'll still have the meetings.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree. Let's take it out. It's a compromise legislation, or it's an attempt to define a process in law. If that's the only constitutional objection, let's go for it. I support the amendment.
Any more discussion on this amendment? Seeing none, all in favor of it, signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Are there any opposed? Seeing none, the amendment passes. Okay. Yes. Okay. This is the function of the Revenue Advisory Commission. They're allowed to have emergency meetings. What is the final date that they have to have revenue to the Congress, Congressman Potts?
Thank you, Madam Chair. B2 says that during the February meeting, the Revenue Advisory Commission shall be required to certify revenue estimates prepared by the Tax Commission, Business Enterprises, the Control of the Nation, and any entity with anticipated revenue for the association for a given fiscal year. Those revenue estimates that are certified at the February meeting are to be delivered to Congress on or before the first day of the HUNCA session, where Congress retains its constitutionally mandated authority to set projected revenue.
My question to that section is, have you looked at other points in law, such as the Gaming Reform Act, that has certain dates set when gaming is to provide a total?
I believe in current law those dates are March 1st, I believe.
Okay, I just didn't want to go ahead and pass this out and then have another bill that we'd have to go back and clean up, or maybe you would think about putting a superseding clause in it where this bill would take.
To make a motion. Page 3?
Let me look. Is it on this page right here?
Yes. Page 3, line 114, the K in HUNCA to be capitalized.
Second.
Does discussion, Congressman?
Scribner's error. Please support the amendment.
All in favor of the amendment, signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed? Seeing none, Congresswoman Edwards.
Did you give any thought to calling, and I don't have a problem with advisory commission, but boy, words certainly get scrutinized these days. Did you think about calling it an oversight commission?
I did not. I Googled similar commissions that have been set up by other government entities that advise on revenue projections, the most common of which is held by the majority of legislative bodies is a board of equalization. Language in our Constitution, Article 6, Section 22, provides for the Congress to establish commissions or committees. So the word advisory was...
It's our prerogative to call our commission what we want to call our commission.
And I think I would like to note there, it's not limited to just... We have a tax commission that's formed by law, or used to be formed by law. So it's not just commissions for the legislative branch. So I just want to make that point. Okay. Is there any more questions about the Revenue Advisory Commission? Okay. I see that they have to conduct their business. Let's move on to the next section then. Congressman Potts, did you have anything to add to before we move on?
I do not.
Okay. Projected revenue and budget outlay requirements. Can you give us a brief thought on this section?
Absolutely. The Association of Congress will adopt an annual projected revenue resolution. This is currently in Osage law. One, under subsection of A, says that Congress shall determine the amounts and enact the annual projected revenue resolution with the assistance of the Osage Nation Revenue Advisory Commission certification of revenue estimates, meaning the revenue estimates from the Revenue Advisory Commission will be delivered to the Congress. The Congress will then be responsible for setting annual projected revenue.
And we're doing that now. We're just doing it not in a formal manner. We're
correct.
Having different reports come in. Okay.
The Association of Congress shall set as a separate item as annual tribal projected revenue. This is what the Congress tracks. This is the document that we have always looked at for how much money we have remaining in the general fund during a given fiscal year. Then again, in Section Z, the Congress may supersede or amend projected revenues by subsequent resolution. That is currently in law. D states that the Osage Nation Congress shall fulfill its constitutional duties to enact an annual budget which does not exceed projected revenues. by adopting the annual revenue resolution or report allowed by Article 6, Section 23 of the Osage Constitution on or before the last day of each HUNCA session.
Question. In taking the non-tribal revenue out of the, does that just take it out of the annual projected revenue?
Takes it out of the tribal projected revenue.
Okay.
E, the projected revenue resolution shall establish budgetary outlays for each branch of government or for each branch for a given fiscal year. This is to better plan as a nation. We've often said part of the reason for confusion on day one of budgetary session is we didn't know how much each branch was going to budget for the given fiscal year.
We did hear that this
multiple times.
Yeah.
So budgetary outlays shall state the amount of funding each branch of government should budget for a respective fiscal year. Again, it's in a resolution, so some have held at this table that that is non-binding, but it's a recommendation in this resolution that says, here's the number, please budget within it. The projected revenue resolution shall establish anticipated budget outlays for the preceding five fiscal years, meaning we start to project for the next five fiscal years what the income of this nation is going to be so that we can plan for capital projects. We can plan. Yes, I have a note to amend that.
Okay.
To seceding.
Okay, thank you.
Where we plan for the next 5 years and we start to say, oh, we're going to have additional revenue available 3 years from now. Maybe that's where that project sits in. So with that, I have an amendment on page 4. Line 156, strike proceeding, and insert seceding.
Second.
A motion and a second. Discussion?
Succeeding, is
yes.
What you're saying.
Assistant Chief, yes.
Strike proceeding and insert succeeding.
Say that again, please.
Strike proceeding and insert succeeding.
Did you say exceeding or proceeding?
Proceeding. Proceeding. Proceeding.
And replace insert. It was the insert that I didn't hear.
Oh, succeeding.
Succeeding. Not next. Okay, got it.
Does it mean next? Is that?
Yes.
It does? Okay.
Maybe you could defer to the assistant principal chief and say next.
Withdraw and restate. Strike proceeding and insert next.
Second.
So it would read, please.
It would read, the projected revenue resolution shall establish anticipated budget outlays for the next five fiscal years.
Any more questions to the amendment? All in favor, please say yes.
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 Any opposed? Seeing none. Assistant Chief, do you have a comment there?
I had a question. So help me understand exactly how this relates to capital asset expenditures.
This is actually a discussion, Assistant Chief, that we were kind of open to as far as a rolling five-year plan or a rolling five-year projection. All this is going to do is state what we know. It's not going to be a complete and accurate picture, but it will state what we know as far as income projected for the next 5 years is going to be this. So if an entity were to rush to the table and say, we need a new building here, we need a new building here, we can say those funds will be available 3 years from now. Those funds may be available 5 years from now. Instead of, let's race to the podium and see if we've got it here today.
I understand what the amendment says, and I understand the goal. I'm just not getting the connection fully. So the projected revenue resolution shall establish anticipated budget outlays for the preceding five fiscal, for the next five fiscal years. I'm not making the connection, could be my fault. I'm just trying to see, budget outlay is, that's a new term, and it's defined how?
Go up to the top.
I'm just not reading, where do I read?
Means the amount of anticipated expenditures for a given fiscal year. So
we're going down or
the resolution will stay, the executive branch should anticipate expenditures of this amount for the next 5 years.
Okay, and where is the language about the capital asset expenditures and having to wait on them until that is?
It's not specific to that. It is specific to branch of
government. Is it elsewhere in the bill?
No.
Thank you.
It's a planning tool.
Let me see. I'm still now getting ourselves lost. Please try. Yes.
Budgetary outlay means the amount of anticipated expenditures for a given fiscal year. So it will state by branch, the legislative branch, for instance, legislative branch has seen little increase over the last 3 years. The judicial branch has seen almost no increase for the last three fiscal years. In fact, I think they've decreased. I think. And the executive branch would be able to be the same way. We can project those budgetary outlays so that we know what we're going to be able to expend.
Okay.
I have another question.
Assistant Chief Redcorn.
Do budget outlays include the trifecta, what we often refer to as the trifecta of benefits?
It is by branch. So I don't think that it's specific to that in this law.
Is it true that the trifecta of benefits represents the most exponential growth of expenditure across the board for this nation, other than capital
outlays? One of them might.
I don't think we have an evaluation of what has the increases in. I think that's a good idea. I think I'll put the budget analyst on that to see maybe over the past 3 or 5 years what the growth is.
I'm not trying to detract from the value of projecting 5 years into the future. We have indeed advocated that. I would question the efficacy of planning if it does not in some way include the trifecta of benefits looking forward, because that the difference between those two pictures are over here and over here.
But you would admit that that function has not been performed at this nation
by anybody.
By anybody.
No, I would not admit that. We have in our branch tried at least to get some clue looking 2 and 3 years ahead and hired experts to try to say it's out.
But is there a document that could be shared, because you guys expend the funds, we legislate and appropriate the funds. Would you admit that there's not a shared document, planning document thus far that we've utilized ever?
Not without going and checking my records, I wouldn't. Because I know at some point we got one, we were having a little trouble understanding it ourselves. And I don't know whether we shared it or not. I would have to check on that before admitting anything.
Thank you. Did you want to comment, Congressman Potts, and then Congressman Edwards?
I believe that the language is vague enough to where we could place that budgetary outlay for direct assistance specifically. That would be the makeup of the projected revenue resolution as it comes through this body.
Well, that's up to the committee. I'm just making the comment that without that consideration, I think any reasonable person might question the value of the time put into budget outlays when the elephant in the room is the. That's probably a poor choice of words, but it's a large expenditure of funds. It's among the
Right.
The largest expenditure of funds.
I can't see the executive branch or the legislative branch, either one ignoring that budgetary outlay in any of the documents that we produce.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you said.
I said I can't foresee the executive branch or the legislative branch excluding that budgetary outlay in any documentation or work that's done as far as appropriations and budgeting is concerned.
Well, I'll take you at your word on that. I'm just wondering how that sentiment is reflected in this bill.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Well, it just seems to me if you're talking about a resolution that has to include and establish budgetary outlays, then that exercise is being undertaken. It's not that this body hasn't undertaken that exercise in the past, because we have through our committee process and having people come in. In the past, we had, some of you might or might not know, in the past we've had direct lines of communication with experts and folks that work directly with our scholarships and with our health benefits, which are the two largest direct assistance items that we have outside of administration of government. And so I'd like to see that continue, but it's hit and miss. I mean, if we get the information once we've passed the legislation and we have the ability to interact with those people, then we can do that, undertake that exercise. You might recall that when we switched administrators for the health benefit, we were asking in law to have the ability to have that access to the information so we could undertake that exercise, and that didn't happen with respect to the latest administrator of the benefit. So since for the past 2 years, I don't believe we've had the ability to access that information in order to make those kinds of reports and inquiries and studies. So I like the fact that this places that kind of inquiry into a responsibility of the commission.
I'm wondering if that definition might have more clarity if there was an amendment to it, something like after for the respective year, including but not limited to
government operations,
executive, legislative, and judicial branches, capital budgets, and direct assistance.
No. Fund requirements.
I just a thought, Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree that would be helpful, although that's where I'd like to be. I would love to have been at this spot 5 years ago so that we could be there today. We're not. I think that this is the first step in the right direction. We see how budgetary outlays and those projections progress, if we're even able to capture that information, and then we move forward. I would hate to put a requirement in law or a potential requirement in law that we have no hope of fulfilling.
Including but not limited to? You don't believe we can capture those that I just named? I'm just curious.
Reed, let's look at the definition of budget outlay again. Maybe that's where you fix it. You could say something there for each. Annual operating expenses, capital expenditures. I mean, to me, you do want to, we want to be able, and this is one of the things we haven't done. We haven't been able to put anything into the permanent fund. We've just been kind of hit or miss. Whatever's left over, we'll put that in the economic development fund. Last minute, we find out we're short in the health benefit fund. I mean, I get what you're saying. I understand you want that to encompass all that, but is there any reason not to identify it by category?
And then I also have a question about, is it going to be the function of this committee for those types of recommendation? Commission? No, that's all in the resolution.
Adopted by Congress.
Okay. I think that Congresswoman Edwards asked a question. Does the sponsor want to reply?
I don't see the value that that adds at this time.
All right. Congresswoman Stabler and then Assistant Chief Rector.
Well, that, I guess that's where I was going to go. If you're talking about the three branches of government, that's what we're constitutionally charged to do, then why would you include government ops, which is under the executive branch, or the big three, which their operations are also under the executive branch, and it would be part of being able to determine those levels of funding. I think it's just an exaggeration or an overkill.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Assistant Chief Redcorn.
I didn't hear everything Congresswoman Shannon said, but I think what she said is something that I agree with.
Oh, no. Write that down.
No. That the problem is that we treat, and this is part of the conversation we had with Congressman Potts in our office, we treat capital outlay as some over here issue that we completely and separately from budgeting. And it represents millions of dollars of expenditure every year. And we do that, the kindest word I can think of, we do that on an ad hoc basis. And if we want to be cruel about it, we can say rush to the podium, but let's just admit that the entire nation does that on an ad hoc basis. And I've never seen it done any other way than on an ad hoc basis. So, saying this very carefully, reserving the right to object to other parts of the bill, I think it's constructive for us to look at all the money we spend, not just the money we spend on operations, the money we spend on operations, the money we spend on capital outlays, the money we spend on economic development. And if we aren't sure that some opportunity isn't going to come down the road somewhere, then just like most people, we might want to have a savings account in some other way than the permanent fund. Okay? So I'm doing my best to be constructive here while reserving the right to object to other parts of the bill, but that, it's just common sense. It's not my opinion. It's logic dictates that we look at all of our spending together on an annualized basis, because that's how our money comes in, unless we borrow it, and we try to approach this holistically. I'm not trying to be critical of the bill by pointing out like what's not in it. I'm simply saying I don't know how you budget by leaving the car purchase in your home thing completely out of the picture.
I don't think budgetary outlay excludes anything. I think that I know that for the past 4 years, this body tracks that on a document annually. We track our capital. We in a way that we can understand what we appropriate.
Could I see the definition for budget outlay again, then, please?
I got Congresswoman Edwards, and then
I'll defer.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
This meeting is noticed until noon.
Yes.
It's noon. And I'm a huge person. We hear over and over again transparency to the people, which is why we notice and post meetings with a start time and an end time. And I kind of complained about this last session. Us going over is not very transparent to the people who have probably made plans to start and stop with this, for those listening in. So I'm a proponent of sticking with meeting times.
Okay, we will.
So I'm going to make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
And I'm going to discuss that we will pick up at our next appropriation meeting here in this bill with the budgetary outlay language and continue on. Congresswoman Stabler.
I just wanted to make notice that we are tentatively scheduling a meeting for next Tuesday for the subcommittee at 1 p.m. And so far, I haven't had anybody turn me down that could make it. So
great,
we're moving forward.
Thank you. All in favor of adjournment, say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed? Seeing none, we are adjourned.
So I will note that we have attempted, I will not note yet.
How does that not include capital, or how does...
It doesn't include it, but it doesn't exclude
right.
it.
Right.
It's up to this...